Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learn, number 28.
28!
That's the big 2-8.
That's a big 2-8.
Pretty exciting, guys. Pretty today exciting. We have a fantastic guest for you. We try to bring a fantastic guest every week, but I'm excited about this one, Chris Gore. You know him from G4, stand-up comedy, just released an album, Celebrities Poop on iTunes now. You're a really funny guy. He hosts a podcast called Pod Crash, where he goes on other people's podcasts and then sort of reviews them, I guess?
It's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that way, he described it as sort of the, you'll hear later, but he describes it as sort of like the sampler platter of podcasts. Yeah. So he's doing the hard work for you. So, you know, a real public servant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool guest and a really fun episode. So you guys are going to enjoy that.
Yes,
and,
but you're probably wondering, how are we able to enjoy this episode?
Absolutely.
And, you know, part of it is our dulcet tones, but the other part of it is T-Fury. T-Fury is the original pop culture t-shirt destination, selling unique designs every day since 2008. You can snag their shirts for only 24 hours starting at midnight. Now, say you're missing a shirt from the past, you want to get it again, what do? You head to the T-Fury Gallery, where you can buy some old designs still in print, and vote on others to come back from the dead, like a zombie that you can wear.
Yes. Zombies.
Yeah, exactly. Wearable zombies. There's a million-dollar idea.
$1 billion.
Flesh Fury. Anyway, every
fleshy.
2 to 4 weeks... Gross. it's like a wearable fleshlight. Anyway, every 2 to 4 weeks... Sorry, T-Fury. Every 2 to 4 weeks, T-Fury adds more designs to their gallery, so be sure to keep an eye out for the turn of some of your favorite shirts. Now, what would be on your favorite shirt? I'll tell you. They cover pretty much everything and anything that you are into. They've got gaming, sci-fi, anime, TV, movies, pop culture, more. You know.
Everything.
Everyone loves more.
Everybody loves more.
Their t-shirts change daily, so check back as often as you'd like. There's always going to be something new. And don't forget about the T-Fury After Hours sale. Say you missed the day's shirt by only a little bit. After Hours. Great movie with Griffin Dunne. Great sale at T-Fury.
Yeah.
They keep the sale going into the wee hours of the morning just for you. So head on over to tfury.com/nerdist and see what today's shirt is all about. That's tfury.com/nerdist.
Hold on, let's do that one more time, only you go down an octave and I'll go up an octave.
tfury.com/nerdist. Colt 45. It works every time.
So dumb.
Whenever I do that, it just makes me feel like Billy Dee Williams doing this.
Billy Dee Williams, who...
Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian reprised his role... Not going to spoil anything, in case you haven't seen it.
It's been a couple weeks. Go see the Lego movie.
Go
see the Lego movie. They're not even sponsoring this podcast. We just love that movie.
I love that movie so fucking much.
And I hope you're still watching the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer as much as I am.
Holy cow. I hope that trailer was good only because Uga Chaka.
Yeah, Hooked on a Feeling Blue Swede.
By Blue Swede.
Which is itself a cover of a cover.
BJ
And then
Thomas.
David Hasselhoff also did a cover of that cover. Watch the David Hasselhoff video on YouTube because it is next level insanity.
And then watch the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Batshit 90s editing.
I don't even know what Guardians of the Galaxy is about or what it is. I don't know who those superheroes are, but there's a giant tree holding a raccoon with a laser gun.
They're a bunch of a-holes.
That's all that fucking matters.
Anyways, today we learned... Today we learned number 28 featuring Chris Gore.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hard time adhering to the rules of Ghostbusters, whereas, like, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. And I've always wanted to implement that, and I try to in L.A. when people say they know you or...
Just go with it.
Just go with it, because worst comes to worst, they end up realizing later, and they feel embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah.
You've made a new friend.
Right.
Happened, you know, I mean...
And you've got a whole history with that friend
absolutely.
That you didn't even realize. Wow.
Yeah.
Why are we not recording all this? It's so. We are. Oh, fuck. Damn it! Is there swearing on the show?
Absolutely,
anything goes.
So we can say cunt punt.
We can.
Excellent.
Say cunt
punt. I love it.
First time cunt punt has ever been said on this podcast.
When,
mark
but
it down,
won't.
Mark
it, down it won't the be
annals.
The last. It won't be the last. Cunt punt will be heard again. Yes. I'm gonna. As long as you can hear me, I don't think I'm gonna wear the.
Yeah,
headphones.
No, it's totally
I'm just a,
fine.
I'm just a huge fan of hearing my voice.
You know, I almost didn't do the show because I got scared.
Yeah, I will.
Well, first of all, I'm a little under the weather. Okay. I'm gonna be honest. I'm under the weather. Yeah. So if you were thinking you would hear something funny, tune away. Absolutely. Go to a different podcast. It's not gonna happen.
Our listeners are very aware.
So you heard it. This podcast is gonna be sick.
It's good. So yeah, I wasn't feeling too well, and then you sent this thing, and I'm like, oh. And plus, the thing is, I always feel an obligation to do a good job.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So if I feel like I'm going to suck, I bail.
Yeah, brief history. I'm going to bail. Brief history to our listeners. We normally, Chris was like, oh, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, okay, I'll email them the topics. And usually we don't email the topics to our guests just so that way when we bring them up, it spurs something or it creates a little bit more conversation.
It feels organic instead of false.
So I emailed.
All of this is a script, by the way. We wrote all these things out.
Hopefully we don't pull a Michael Bay and our prompter stops working and we need to walk out of the place.
Get attacked with an air conditioner.
But so I emailed Chris and Dan the topics that I compiled, and Chris is like, oh, I'm not going to be ready. And he's like, oh, maybe we'll have to reschedule. And it's like, it's not that.
Well, it's not unreasonable for you to send something like this, because I've been on shows where they like say, here's the topics we're going to talk about. Yeah. And then I'll look at them and go, oh, and I'll make notes about, oh, here's a I'll be real clever when I say this thing.
Wait till they hear this anecdote.
Exactly. Whoa. Yeah. So I like to prepare.
Absolutely.
So I thought, well, maybe this is that kind of show.
Yeah.
And I just didn't think I would have time. I had an early morning meeting, series of meetings.
Good
My
meetings.
Least favorite things are meetings.
Meetings.
Pitch meeting for a show that I've been trying to pitch for a while.
Okay.
That I'm gonna.
Mention here, so nobody's
I'm gonna do
steals
it. I'll
it.
Do it this year, whether I sell it or not, because I don't give a shit. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, but I always like when someone pays you money.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Oh, money. money.
Given the option between money and no money. Money's a pretty compelling alternative.
I'll go money.
Now, would you accept Bitcoin?
Right. What is this? I'm walking into Meltdown. I'm walking into Meltdown. They're like, we accept Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Who has them? And also, I want to see a Bitcoin because it sounds so cool. Is it like, does
it's
it look
like
a little
JPEG of a coin, probably?
No, I want it to look like a mushroom that goes ba-ding.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want it to look like.
I
Bitcoin
understand.
Should be mushrooms, golden mushrooms that make a sound.
I understand it, but I don't. It still blows my mind.
Is
there's
it worth like $1,000 or something? What is the current asking price for a Bitcoin?
For the podcast listeners, there's a really good podcast on the Joe Rogan's podcast with some Aristotle something, some scientist, some Andre, whatever. He's a smart scientist guy with a name I don't remember. But look up that and listen to that. It's a 2-hour podcast. It's all about Bitcoin, and it's really, really fucking interesting. It blows your mind, how good, because I went in, just making fun of Bitcoin and all that.
As we'll
continue to do.
Right.
And it's very interesting.
At the time of recording, one Bitcoin is worth $626.60.
Weren't they worth $1,000?
Yeah, well, the thing is,
so
they fluctuate. They fluctuate.
Wow,
that's demand
weird.
Will demand will rise and fall.
I love the Joe Rogan podcast because it's like listening to normal things through the mind of a paranoid high person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like someone who's just incredibly paranoid, filled with conspiracy theories, and wasted off his ass on marijuana, explaining the world. So I love seeing it through the prism of Rogan because it makes the mundane fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And also he has really smart people on the show.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that podcast.
Yeah. While we're talking
because
about
I like
podcasts.
It for I like it for different reasons than normal people would. They'd say Joe Rogan's a good interviewer. And I'm like, yeah, he's high and paranoid.
Yeah.
I love it. It's the same reason I like football. Like I love football because it's the gayest of all the sports.
It's
men in tights playing with their balls.
Gayer than gay basketball?
Exactly. So it's basketball's pretty gay too. But I'm such a fucking weirdo because I don't like normal things for the same reasons other people do.
Yeah.
I include my own little prism that makes it incredibly hilarious and entertaining.
Yeah. I don't listen to every Joe Rogan podcast.
No one else but me.
I don't listen to everyone, but when I hear there's a really interesting
in-depth
about, because there's, all sorts, a lot of them are just ranting and riffing about mundane stuff, but then every now and then they'll have a scientist or someone on it who's very knowledgeable about a topic, and it's just, it's like I'm in the I'm the Joe Rogan on there listening it, because half this time about the Bitcoin, he's like, hold on, what the fuck is it? He's me who doesn't understand.
Okay, now I want to hear that episode.
That's
I
a good
hear
episode.
So if you're listening to this, tune away or pause the Bitcoin episode, but I always think of Joe Rogan when I trip over my kettlebells. Every day, I trip
so
over those
strong.
Kettlebells, I'm like, fucking Rogan,
so
damn
strong.
It. Why did I buy these stupid kettlebells? I could have been lifting books and gotten in shape.
While we're talking about podcasts, welcome to Today We Learn number 28. As usual, my name is Razzle.
And I'm Dan.
And with us is the very talented Chris Gore.
Thank you very much.
You may have seen him on G4. You may have seen him on TLC, I believe, or IFC. You've seen him on VH1. He hosts a wonderful podcast called Pod Crash.
That's correct, yes.
And he's a very wonderful writer, interviewer, all sorts. He's a virtuoso amongst the entertainment.
Well, thank you. And I just came out with a new comedy album.
Okay.
Called Celebrities Poop.
I knew it.
It also has a tie-in book that is in a page-for-page parody of the book Everyone Poops by Taro Gomi. So
okay.
It's a beloved, one of the top 10 selling children's books of all time. And I just thought I would do a book and a comedy album in one as an art project. And I think they sell it here at Meltdown.
Okay,
so there you go.
Really
but
cool.
I'll give you guys copies of the album so you can...
Awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Maybe pull a clip for the listeners. Or
yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Right, Aristotle? I think he's a man of many means.
Yeah, there you go. It's on iTunes.
Real quick while I have it in my head here, Facebook, as of today, just bought an app called WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
For $16 billion.
What's WhatsApp?
It's a free messaging service, and you can use it when you're out of the country as well. So it's great if you're a traveler. When I was in London for work earlier this fall, I used it to sort of communicate with some of the other journalists I was there with. So it was great because I didn't have to pay for an international calling plan. So it's basically a very robust messaging service. And I was able to use it, people back here, people abroad. So it's really cool. It's a great messaging app. And I think... an interesting acquisition by Facebook in particular.
Is it $16 billion though?
That's what I was wondering. Is they bought it for like $3 billion cash, and then the rest in like Facebook stock or whatever. But I was in, that number struck me as a fuck ton of money. So I looked into it.
I can't imagine why.
I looked into it and listen. This is how kind of upsetting it is that Facebook just goes around doling out this amount of money for just messaging or messaging apps.
It seems like they could have developed it themselves.
Exactly that, and just what blows my mind is NASA's annual spending is only $17.8 billion.
So NASA should do a Kickstarter.
NASA needs to fucking...
Why haven't we built the Starship Enterprise?
Yeah, NASA needs to just make apps and sell them to companies like Facebook so they can do even more.
All right.
Like...
Let's do some math here.
Yeah.
How many bitcoins is that? We've got a calculator. We can figure this out. 16 billion divided by 600. This is a story problem, children.
Yeah.
And we can figure it out. Okay, so how much is the 3 billion divided by 6? And
there's only like 55 employees, too. So
55 however, employees.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but they're all being absorbed into Facebook.
Into Facebook.
And also, WhatsApp has nearly a billion unique users itself. I'm sure there's a lot of crossover
already
with Facebook.
So the reason they bought it was because if you have a billion user base, they bought it for the user base. Now it actually seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Right?
$16
per user.
So they
paid $3 a user, basically.
Well, if they have a billion and they paid
$3 cash a user.
Yeah.
I mean, how many bitcoins, though? We don't know the bitcoin count. Calculator.
25,655,004 bitcoins. There's some decimals in there, but...
Still a lot of bitcoins,
that's a shit ton of bitcoins.
You can buy Meltdown.
And you can use all those bitcoins at Meltdown.
Oh, my God. How do you... I want to know what a bitcoin looks like.
It's just a one. It's a ones and zero. It's all crypto.
It's all digital.
It's digital
cryptocurrency. The logo, it looks like just a gold coin with a dollar.
I could totally right click that and save to desktop.
Right?
It's like
pretty
a Scrooge
much.
McDuck coin with
the
right.
Just try printing them out and sliding them over the desk. Would you take this?
I feel like you could counterfeit bitcoins pretty easily because no one's educated about how they work.
Well, there's also Dogecoin.
Yeah.
What?
You know that meme, Doge, where it's the Shiba Inu, where it's like, such currency, very exciting, wow.
Okay.
They, like, basically, this is crazy. So this internet dog meme has a Bitcoin-like cryptocurrency based after it, and Reddit users on the Dogecoin subreddit managed to raise enough money to send the Jamaican bobsled team to Sochi this year using Dogecoin, because it was for them it was a way to build awareness for their goofy currency,
right?
And for the Jamaican bobsled team, it was a way to compete in the Olympics and finish 30th, which they did.
Here's
maybe 29th. I don't remember. Either way, straight. They did not get to do a fourth run.
Something else I learned on Twitter today on the way here. Neil deGrasse Tyson, famed, you know, astrophysicist.
I love that guy.
And all that.
Yeah.
He tweeted a couple interesting things here. Anybody who freezes food knows water becoming ice expands by about 10%. Which is why 10% of icebergs sit above water. Then he tweeted, which means essentially if all of the Arctic Ocean's floating ice and icebergs melted, the sea level wouldn't change because all that ice is just expanded anyway. So it's still displacing the same amount. So I thought that was pretty neat. Like everybody's like, oh, global warming and when things are going to melt.
So it is a scam. Thanks, Neil.
Well, you better tell Michael Big, because I thought he was planning a disaster movie.
Waterworld was full of shit.
The day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow. So Waterworld was full of shit.
Yeah.
Wow. See, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he always ruins every science fiction.
Right?
Okay. Gravity was bullshit.
He just couldn't leave it alone.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's really interesting.
Like, I always knew ice expanded, but I never really thought... I never put them two and two together that if the icebergs melted, like that's why there's ice on the top. That's why we see half of it.
Well, I'm really happy I didn't have to know that, but I'm still able to have an opinion about it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was listening to an NPR report this morning about the like master ice maker in Sochi who like runs the different rinks.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they need different kinds of ice for the different events. Like ice skating needs a very soft ice, whereas speed skating needs to be like densely packed. And the guy who's running the one for figure skating, the Ice Cube, fittingly called, was talking about how they have to take everything into account. Like the audience has to be a different temperature than the rink, and also they have to play classical music while they're freezing the ice. And this is sort of a bit of a subject of contention. He was saying not rock music, not silence. The classical music, the sound waves reverberate off the ice while it's freezing and reduce the amount of air bubbles inside. NPR's research team looked into it. They couldn't find anything credible to back it up. So I think it's kind of one of those holistic home remedies that's popular among like master ice makers.
Okay.
But either way, I thought it was pretty crazy or kind of cool.
That's an interesting theory. Like, yeah, I would have bought it.
Yeah, he's playing Vivaldi's Four Seasons while he's freezing this ice. And they've been working on the ice in that arena for 15 months just for these Olympics. They've been like honing it down and like melting and like refreezing. It's nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
See if I saw that in a documentary with Morgan Freeman's voice, it becomes a fact.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, just that's
so I trust him.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely makes sense, I guess. I mean, if you're not very bar.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. It could be bunk. I mean, there's a lot of... I love when scientific stuff gets bunked.
There must be other chemicals put in the ice because, I mean, once it freezes. So it's not just solid water because otherwise...
past Olympians. Fourth place skaters are buried there.
Well, because if you have like a softer ice and a harder ice for different sports, that's really just... melty, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's like salt or something else in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not an ice master, okay? I'm just relaying what I vaguely remember from my commute this morning.
But that's such a fun fact to repeat to someone.
Yeah.
To spread bullshit.
Oh, of course.
I love stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You gotta play the right music. What music did you play when you froze this ice? This ice is terrible.
Like, one of my favorite
ones... Smash Mouth?
Blaine Kapatch, the comedian, told me once, he said, cunt... with an apostrophe, C-U-N apostrophe T, is actually the past tense of can't.
Interesting.
Which I happen to know is bullshit, but I think that's a fun thing to spread.
Yeah.
It's one
of those where it's just plausible enough. You're like, oh, yeah, it's from the old English. It's from the middle English.
They used to say that, you know, like, fuck was a farming term. Cunt was, you know, I cunt do that yesterday.
Yeah.
I cunt. I just cunt.
If you put fun fact in front of it at a party, fun fact, and then whatever, at a party or bar, most people will believe you.
I find it's always best to precede it by actual facts. And then you just ease it in there. Yeah, exactly. That's like my favorite thing is to fuck with people.
It is. It's fun. If you can say it in a convincing manner, of course, we'd never do that to you folks here on the podcast.
Because you know we're doing it, but...
But if you encounter us in real life, all bets are off.
Fun fact, Maine is the only U.S. state whose name is just one syllable.
That is a fun fact.
Yeah. That's something, I mean, you don't really...
That's an actual fact.
Like, you don't really, I mean, you know there's 50 states, but when you really think about it, you don't, I mean, who really...
Right.
Yeah, like, it's like... There's so many states you forget about, and then you're like, yeah, that's a state, but why do you need to dwell on, you know, Missouri or Rhode Island, like, in your everyday life? Maine and Connecticut and Vermont are just way up so far north, like, yeah, you kind of forget about them. They're so small.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. And while we're talking about locations, I guess, here's a couple of facts about the Spanish flu pandemic.
I was just looking at this piece of paper. This is really
interesting, the Spanish flu pandemic. Briefly, it was an unusually deadly influenza pandemic. The first of two pandemics involving H1N1 influenza virus, the second being in the 2009. It infected 500...
So this first one, 1918, yes?
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, the 1918 Spanish flu. It infected 500 million people and killed 50 to 100 million. Now, this is when it gets interesting, because to maintain morale, wartime censors minimized early reports of the illness and mortality in Germany, Britain, France, and the United States. But the newspapers were free to report the epidemic's effects in neutral Spain, creating the false impression of Spain as being especially hard hit. So the reason everybody's like, oh, it's the Spanish flu pandemic, everybody's like, oh, it really killed Spain, but it really equally hurt the whole world, but hey, they just
how did it affect the world population? Like, the world population was reduced significantly.
Yeah, like it killed
almost 100 million
people. 100 million people, yeah.
It's devastating as something like smallpox or...
Yeah.
Can I be honest, though? I love getting the flu. I love it.
Because
when I know I'm going to get it, it's sort of my cheap-ass weight loss program.
Okay.
So it's like, it's like I can feel the flu coming on. It's like, oh, this sucks. First of all, I know I'm not going to be drinking soda or eating sweets or drinking beer, things that make me fat.
Keeping down fluids or solids of any kind.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be drinking healthy water, juices, chicken soup. You know, and I'm gonna be able to play a lot of video games.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So my gamer score on Xbox
just shows up
through the roof.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then I always get kind of excited getting the flu because I'm like, I will lose that 10 pounds.
Just having some H1.
It's not a bad thing.
Having some H1N fun.
Yeah, I'm healthy enough. I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna get. I just want just enough flu to lose 15 pounds.
Yeah,
that's all I need.
There's the alternative route is to get horrific food poisoning, like I did from a local Chinese food establishment.
Oh, which one?
WeHo Bistro in West Hollywood. I loved you for the longest time, but then you made me throw up so many times.
Wow,
great ab workout though.
Okay, I was gonna say. Your abs got a workout.
Yeah.
You lost a lot of water weight.
Yeah,
which is, I mean, like, I swear, I will. As soon as I feel like I'm coming down with the flu, not a joke, I will weigh myself and then I will test the weight loss results. Minimally 5 pounds.
I think that's
minimally 5 pounds. Just like boom, melt away.
That's where they got the idea for Nutrisystem.
Yeah, they should sell little things of like, you get the flu, lose 15 pounds instantly.
I was hanging out with
Florida, Mexican water.
Yeah,
I was hanging out with my buddy Andy Kozel, who was on the podcast not too long ago, and he got a text while I was with him from a buddy of his or whatever saying that there's a college in San Diego that was willing to offer people $3,000 to inject them with the flu for 9 days.
Oh gosh,
and I'm like, fuck yes, I'll do that. Not only A, because I don't get sick as it is, so getting the flu would just increase my antibodies and make me even more of like a superhero.
Right.
And fucking $3,000, absolutely. I'll sit around for 9 days being sick.
Did you?
For $3,000? No, because it was like an old thing. Like, they stopped looking for people by the time I found out.
Yeah, all their subjects died.
A friend of mine is a comedian, not going to say who, will make money doing those kinds of experiments. You have to be a certain ethnicity.
Yeah.
You have to be within a certain age group. Mm-hmm. You have to like have certain habits.
Yeah.
And some of them, they just inject them with stuff and they, you know, then do tests on them. But others, he has to be in lockdown for like 30 days. And is how he makes money.
It's just like one of those sleep studies where it's like, kind you just hang like on that. This room and we watch you.
But like, but just as a way to dissuade anyone considering a comedy career.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, for me, like, I like doing comedy as a way to network with other comedians and just like meet some of my heroes people that I'm a fan of, like, oh well, I'm doing a comedy show with Tom Lennon or Brody Stevens. Like, that's fun to meet them and we're like colleagues because look, our names are all in the same block
poster.
Of text. But in terms of like a money making thing, it's really only like the people doing it in the big venues that are making
I mean, you gotta be really serious about it.
So yeah, if you're willing to inject yourself with strange microbes.
So what I'm saying is either sell out huge places and make money like the big comics, or put your body up for experimentation. Yeah.
Help science help you.
It's right, like the first season of that Ryan Reynolds show, Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. Ryan Reynolds' character, that's what he did for money was, I mean, A, he worked at the pizza place, but to make spare money, he would do like experiments and stuff like that.
Right, and then to make spare money in the future, he became a superhero.
Yeah,
like four different superheroes.
Right, right. Oh, right.
Or to lose money in the future for studios.
Right, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Green Lantern, I wanted you to be good.
Yeah, no, I think we're all rooting for it.
Yeah, and I like Ryan Reynolds.
I
want him to succeed.
He's good in Buried. Buried?
Scared
the fuck out of me.
Sure, I was scared during that scene in Kill Bill 2, where she's in the coffin. Has to do the 1-inch punch to get out of there.
God, it is. You got to see. Yeah, see Buried.
See Buried.
But I started watching Buried at night, and I was like, I can't watch this. I can't watch it.
During the day.
No, I can't. I had to watch it during the day with my windows open.
Yeah.
You know, with light coming in the room because it is so. It's disturbing.
Yeah.
There's
don't go to a Japanese capsule hotel and then watch it in there.
That would be the worst place to watch. Yeah.
There's a sensory deprivation chamber.
There's a similar movie coming out with God damn it, what's his fucking Bane.
Tom Hardy.
There's a new movie coming out with Tom Hardy, similar to Buried, where Ryan Reynolds is in the coffin the whole time, only with Tom Hardy he's driving the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's on like a speakerphone talking to people the whole time.
Oh, so I saw an indie movie that was like that, where the entire premise of the movie it was directed by the guy who did Sword and the Sorcerer.
Okay.
God, I'm spacing on his name. But he made this horror, and it's all from the point of view of like a police. It's like, first of all, it starts in this police
car. Albert Kuhn?
Yes. It starts in this police car, and then someone steals the car, so it's just the POV, and it's all done in one shot, the whole movie.
Oh my God.
80 minutes.
My coworker.
I forget the name of the movie, and I forget the guy who directed it.
Yeah.
Albert Kuhn.
My coworker.
And it's odd because I'm actually on the DVD commentary for Sword and Sorcerer in Australia because we recorded. Now the memories are coming back.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the one take thing. My coworker just did the first feature film on a GoPro. This guy, Andrew Bowser, really talented guy, really great director, called this film called Worm. And it's just he has this rig strapped to a guy, so it's just like his POV, like the whole time, this GoPro. It's really, really intense stuff.
What happens in the movie?
You know, he's this like sort of like low life guy, and he just gets into a bit of hot water, and he's sort of he's on the run.
It all happens like in 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like real time, just really intense stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Speaking of movies, here's something that really blew my mind. I never really put the two and two together, but VHS, I always knew like what VCR stood for, but VHS stands for video home system.
I never knew VHS.
Yeah,
video Why would I not? Video cassette recorder.
Yes, VCR, then video home system. You just.
And Betamax stands for Betamax.
Yeah, Betamax is Japanese for failed idea.
Right.
Betamax, actually, according to Sony's own history webpages, the name comes from the double meaning beta being the Japanese word used to describe the way signals were recorded onto the tape, and from the fact that when the tape is ran through the cassette and the transport, it resembles the Greek letter for beta. So the Greek letter B is when you put the tape into the player, it's run through the system and it
looks like a B.
It looks like the Greek B.
Huh.
Yeah.
I used to work at a video store, and I remember asking someone, VHS or beta? And they said, Visetamatch. So I have no idea.
They're laser disc owners.
Yeah. We could go on a whole rant about that.
Yeah.
But we'll spare your listeners.
Fuck our listeners. No. We love our listeners.
Unless our listeners are really hot, then we do want to fuck our listeners.
Yeah.
If our listeners are hot, we want to fuck you.
Send us your picture. Send us your Tinder accounts.
Here's shifting gears slightly.
Absolutely.
Here's something cool that Aristotle actually found for us. It's about the history of hot chocolate, which is something great to drink when you're feeling sick, so we can make this more of a segue.
Right.
But not if you're not too much if you're kind of have the flu, because that can create extra phlegm.
Right. Or if you want to lose weight while you have
the
flu.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
hot chocolate
goal.
Is not it's not fitness water. Don't get confused. So basically, hot chocolate dates all the way back to the days of the Aztecs, but back then
cocoa beans were valuable not only for their culinary uses, but they were used as currency. They were often used as gifts during important ceremonies and festivals, and they used the roasted beans to make a chocolate drink.
Okay.
But the Aztecs drank it cold and flavored it with wine and chili peppers. It was not sweet in any way, shape, or form. So you're getting this, like, spicy, boozy, cold chocolate pick-me-up. Which, yeah, you know,
it was the
goes
energy
great.
Drink of its day.
Yeah, goes it great. Was. It was the 5-hour energy drink. Goes great with human sacrifice.
They
nothing pleases
wine.
Quetzalcoatl better than some cold chili wine.
Chili wine, like Four Loko.
Yeah, but so chocolate was discovered and brought to Europe in the 1500s by explorer Cortez. And once it was introduced in Spain, that's when they began to serve it hot and sweetened and without chili peppers. But the Spanish, this is pretty interesting. The Spanish were very protective of this drink. They loved it so much they sort of kept it a secret, and so it took more than a century before it began to spread to the rest of Europe. So they were just gripping and sipping on some chocolate, and meanwhile the rest of Europe was just languishing in total darkness.
Yeah. Wow. I think I'm coming down with the flu.
Yeah. Well, you'll look great soon enough.
Oh, I can't wait.
Chocolate houses became popular in London during the 1700s, and the English are the ones who started adding milk to the chocolate, and that's why it became popular as an after-dinner drink. So they're the ones you can thank for what we know as sort of the modern hot chocolate and Swiss Miss.
And it was Duke Nestle.
Yes.
Ooh, was it? It was a Duke Nestle?
Duke Swiss Missly.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Of Missingham. During the middle of the 18th century, cocoa powder... During the middle of the 18th century, cocoa powder was invented. It was developed in Holland, and that made it a lot easier because the powder blends a lot easier with milk or water than the beans, like grinding them up. So, and then eventually, around the same time, milk chocolate was developed, and that's when it started to be used in candy by mixing cocoa butter and sugar during this period.
Oh, wow.
1876 is when milk chocolate was developed, and that sort of ushered in the modern era of chocolate being used as more of a solid than just a drink. So that's why we have chocolate bars today as opposed to just a terrifying cold chili wine.
Huh. Wow. I feel like we could go through a Ferrell's.
Yeah.
And get the history of every one of the weird candies that they sell.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Ferrell's? Where it's like you go, it's like this cheesy family restaurant, but at the end you'd have to go pay your bill through this labyrinth of different kinds of most bizarre candies that you can only find at a Ferrell's, and they were all sold in like these big barrels. You know what I'm talking about? And they would sell things like
a general store or something like that.
Yeah, like a general store.
Okay,
you must remember, just look up Ferrell's.
Yeah, is there one around Los Angeles?
There is one outside of LA,
in Brea, California.
Yeah. But there would be like they would sell the you know those like pieces of paper that would have those colored dots on it.
Yeah,
you would always eat a little bit of the piece of paper when you're trying to get the candy off. They sell things like that.
Oh,
but
wow.
Weirder candies from like all over the world. And that was always like the reason to go to a Ferrell's was to go through that candy labyrinth at the end.
And buy the weird, obscure, old candies.
Like the, exactly. Like
Abba Zabba's.
Yeah,
other,
just
you know.
Weird like brands that it's like, I can't believe they don't, they made.
Do you remember those,
they
were wax, but they had a little bit of juice in it. And
yes.
It was like a wax
bottle. They looked like a soda bottle.
Oh, yeah. They had the lips too.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like candy cigarettes, which were delicious.
Speaking of cigarettes, here's a fact about cigarettes.
Don't eat these ones.
Yeah, don't eat these cigarettes. The Marlboro. I don't smoke.
Marlboro. Some fucking mobs. That's how we said back in Boston.
Marlboro used to market their cigarettes as premium ladies' cigarettes. Their slogan was mild as May. But in 1955, they changed their ads to cowboys and Marlboro Country images, and their sales increased 3,000% within a year.
Wow.
Whoa.
So they originally marketed to women, and then when they realized, let's just market to guys and have...
We are underserving the rugged cowboy market.
Yeah, right. 3,000%, and it was... Wow, it was Don Draper who came up with that in a future episode of Mad Men.
In 1955, guys loved their cowboys.
Yeah.
Wow.
3,000% in 1 year. Can you imagine, like, that guy? And he was work for hire, so it's not like he got any percentage of that.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Marlboro. Does anybody here smoke? I don't smoke.
I do not.
I do not smoke either. Smoke? Yeah. Candy cigarettes. But
candy cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, they used the... They used the Marlboro Man from 1954 to 1999. That is...
Wait, there is no Marlboro Man anymore?
No, I don't think they use him anymore. I think they...
Well, didn't the guy who played him end up getting cancer or something? And like,
yeah, I think that was didn't not really
good,
help.
That wasn't a good PR thing for him.
Right, right.
Yeah, the fourth guy to play him died age 72 of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease because he was a smoker from age 14.
Oh, wow.
But he was a smoker from, let's look on the positive, he was a smoker from age 14.
Yeah,
and lived to 72 as a smoker.
Yeah.
I feel like the previous generation just could handle that shit more.
Yeah.
If I'm around cigarette smoke, my eyes start to water and I'm you know congested the next day because I'm such a pussy.
Yeah.
But the previous generation was rugged and tough, could handle that. My aunt, who lived into her 80s, was like a 2-pack a day smoker. From the time she was young, she lived into her freaking 80s.
Yeah.
I think it's like what your body's, you know, can put up with.
Yeah. I mean, some people,
you
know, they just,
what you get the used abuse, to.
Some people just like their vices and, you know, there's,
I mean, I'm sure they also put, back then, I'm sure, I gotta imagine there was more just pure tobacco, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, back then there was kale in there, a little bit of spinach, some quinoa.
Cucumbers.
Yeah. Yeah, also, where do you guys come down on cucumber water? Have you had this?
No, I don't like cucumbers.
I have had this.
I'm
not on purpose, but I've had it.
Yeah, exactly. It's always just slightly off.
It's always
off-putting.
Like, yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
What? Ah. Someone's tampered with this water.
Right.
Something's been done to this.
Yeah, I don't like cucumbers.
Right. Do you like pickles?
I don't.
All right.
Pickle water you would not like either.
Yeah, so don't give Razzle any brine.
I've heard there's an LG water or whatever that it's almost like an energy drink. Like if you drink like blue LG or something like that, from what I've heard through the grapevine, it acts as if you're, you know, drinking an espresso shot or something like that.
You know, I feel like as smart as we become as a society, we also become as dumb.
Yeah.
You know, there's just stupid things like, you know, like that we would laugh at, like, oh, people in the early 1900s did this thing. They thought that cocaine cured all ills. Well, actually, maybe it does.
Yeah.
But you know, because they would put effectively cocaine into cough syrup and these things that were, you know, they were elixirs
or
tonics that would make you feel better, right?
Yeah.
And it's effectively just
Dr. McGillicuddy's family time, good time elixir.
Exactly, yes. Try this tonic. It cures everything.
It'll cure the croup.
But there's just as much dumb, stupid shit that we think, like, kale, it does this. There's always just some weird trend.
Oh, yeah, gotta have my omega-3s.
Exactly.
There's so much placebo going around in Los Angeles, alone the world. Where it's like,
case in point, juice cleanse.
Yeah.
Right. What's that?
Anything where you drink, stop eating food, you just drink juices to lose weight. It's just a crash diet. You're just feeding your, like the master cleanse, you're putting like cayenne pepper, maple syrup, lemon juice, and some bullshit. You just drink that. And you just shit a lot. And basically, you're just drinking horror juice and just you're just not eating any food, and your body's like all hopped up on sugar. So you're just burning off calories. But you're going to gain it all back once you go off the diet.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So much hocus pocus that people buy into.
Well, no, I saw, actually, it's odd. Yesterday, I saw a TED Talk, as I love to watch TED Talks.
Oh, TED Talks are so good.
Love TED Talks. There should be a Tumblr of hot girls doing TED Talks.
Yeah.
Because I fall in love with every girl that's remotely attractive doing a TED Talk.
Yeah.
It's like she could be like, you know, here on Sunset Boulevard, she'd be a 4.
Yeah.
But doing a TED Talk, she's a fucking 8.
I'll tell you what, intelligence is like at least 4 points.
Oh, hell yeah. And, you know, with those, like, hot-looking, sexy glasses and those 2-inch heels, very practical.
The way they work, the PowerPoint presentation.
Right, right. Oh, my God, I love it.
So
there was a woman who did a TED Talk about weight loss, and she talked about how basically all weight loss stuff is bullshit. And it's like, basically, it's a solution. And she was basically just arguing that that stuff doesn't work, that your body kind of sets itself, like sort of sets its preferences. It's like a your body is like a thermometer, right?
Okay.
You set your thermometer in your house to 72 degrees. And no matter what you do, you could open the windows, close the windows, it gets colder at night. The house is going to make adjustments so that the temperature is always 72. And they say your body reaches a certain weight it's comfortable being.
Okay.
Right? And then no matter what, you'll make a temporary change, and that'll affect for a little bit, but then your body will offset that temporary change to return to your preferred weight, which is the way your brain is doing it. It's like an unconscious thing that you do. Like, we don't have to think to breathe, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to think when we walk because our brains take over the sort of automatic functions, right? And so that was her TED talk, and I did want to fuck her after I watched it.
I tell you what,
I did want to fuck that chick who did that TED talk.
So when I eat a burrito at 1 a.m., that's just my body's way of trying to restore the status quo.
Actually, partially true. It's like you are, you know, or either they'll say like there's certain foods you're eating because there's some sort of mineral in that food that you lack, and you'll have a craving for something that's totally freaking weird.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's some people that eat this way that are going, oh, well, my body wants a thing that's in that I haven't had recently and needs to replenish that thing. My personal theory is all this stuff is bullshit, and that every human body is like an ecological system that has different rules set for itself.
Yeah.
So when you look at like the human body should have 2,000 calories a day, right? Well, not guys who play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Not
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps, okay? That guy probably eats a 6,000 calorie a day diet.
During the Olympics, he was eating 15,000 calories a day.
Yes, because he's Michael Phelps and he's in the Olympics. So, and he's burning all this stuff. So, and his body adjusts to that. But I feel that every single person's body, no matter what body type, ethnicity, whatever, it all, or gender, it all comes down to basically hacking your own system, right? Hacking your own body. Like I could sit there and, you know, you and I could have the same diet, but our bodies totally process it differently. Whereas this, I have a different reaction to, you have a different reaction to this. So yeah, that's why I'm really fascinated with this stuff. You know, I didn't come with a prepared sheet.
Yeah, it's...
But there's this, you should look this up. You can look it up. It's a food called Soylent.
Soylent.
This is a real thing. Vice magazine did a story. Look up Soylent.
Yeah.
Spelled just like Soylent
Green. No, I know.
S-O-Y-L-E-N-T.
Okay.
He was basically a guy who worked in the technology field, a programmer who wanted to hack the human body.
Okay.
He wanted to break down exactly what are the nutrients a body needs. And he did this because he was tired of how time-consuming it was to make a meal and how much it cost.
Yeah.
So he developed a powder that when mixed with water... you can live on it. Just that.
Just that.
He said that a couple of things. So he used his own body to experiment.
Okay.
And he puts on the internet. On the internet is the formula to make Soylent. It's now actually being marketed commercially.
Okay.
And you could be part of a medical study. Now, the military, the U.S. military, and a bunch of medical organizations are interested in this as a way to solve starvation in certain parts of the world.
Yeah.
Because it would be incredibly inexpensive to make.
Yeah.
It would also... you know, be easy to store, so you could send it to parts of the world, and you could live off just drinking this. I mean, you could keep some in your house during some natural disaster.
Yeah,
you can't go to the you replenish your groceries. You could live on Soylent. The results he reported were that he pooped a lot less.
Yeah,
he actually took far fewer bowel movements.
Yeah,
and then it's not that he stopped completely eating solid food, but when he did, he would go out and spend $100 on the best steak you could get.
Yeah.
So he'd have one meal a week that was the best you could possibly get. And then this other stuff, it wasn't time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking like, I'm ecstatic about this. I can't wait to get it because watching the Jetsons as a kid, it's like, when are we going to have a pill?
Yeah.
Look, Thanksgiving dinner in the form of a little pill that I can eat.
Yeah, it's
or that gum that chick ate.
You know, Willy Wonka, the Thanksgiving dinner?
roast beef.
Yeah, and what I find interesting.
Soup.
Yeah, what was her name?
What I find interesting.
Violet Beauregard.
Yeah. Violet, you're turning violet. this was invented by a software engineer named Rob Reinhardt. That's really interesting. It's made from powdered starch, rice protein, olive oil, and some raw chemical powders that are there to give you the extra nutrients that you need. Yeah, it's
but he's conducting. And it's also been approved you can buy it commercially because it's not a drug.
So the FDA has approved it.
I guess there's some workaround of it.
The FDA just hasn't said don't do that.
They haven't said don't do it, but he you could sign up to be part of a medical study.
The FDA gave it approval in late January of this year.
Oh wow.
Okay, so, well that's recent.
Yeah.
Huh.
just reading about that, just to me, like, I just keep wondering, like, when is all the science things going to be real in my life?
I'll tell you what.
Flying cars.
Next year, Nike is power releasing laces. Power laces.
From Back to the Future 2.
Okay,
too.
So power laces. Here are the inventions that aren't around. I tweeted once that I feel like, with the exception of flying cars, Los Angeles is pretty much Blade Runner capable.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much we live in Blade Runner land. You've got, you know, people speaking all types of languages all over.
You have flat screen TVs.
Flat screen TVs.
You got replicants. Wait.
Well, real dolls.
Yeah.
Real dolls. We're really getting there. It's exciting. And the one
electric cars.
Yeah, things I would like to see invented. Where are my X-ray specs?
Mm-hmm.
I saw them in comic books growing up as a kid.
Yeah, right? They had the technology back in the 1950s.
Yeah. Somebody, I feel like if a science fiction writer, like to me, the popularity of the Razer phone. Remember the Motorola Razer phone?
Yeah, that changed the game.
It's like, look how thin it is. It makes phone calls. Plus, it's like a Star Trek communicator.
Exactly.
That's what I because that's the one
Set
thing.
Your phasers
the
fuck,
iPhone,
yeah.
I mean, it's cool, whatever, but I wish it flipped. You can get a case that does that.
I would be okay with it not flipping if every time I unlocked it, it made the bloop.
Yeah, if it just...
Make a noise when I unlock my iPhone, make a Star Trek noise.
Yeah. I'm sure you can program your phone to do that.
I will give someone $16 billion if they make an app that does that.
Or 25 million bitcoins.
That's the secret, I think, for success for any tech device is it has to have been used in a science fiction movie, and we have to have wanted it.
There's got
to
be some form of want and nostalgia.
Yeah, well, right. Like a lightsaber. Where are the lightsabers? Yeah. But lightsabers would be used for I'm cutting the Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see...
There's another table films coming out now,
like stuff with a lot of futurism in there, like Her, how that influences.
Well, Her is going to be recent. I mean, I really feel like we're 10 years from Her being real.
I hope not, because those slacks that he wore and that were outrageous.
Don't knock high-waisted wool pants until you had to wear them as well as everyone else in society.
His pants were so high.
Well, you
movies.
Knew that was sci-fi because there was no traffic in Los Angeles at all.
Yeah, and there was mass transportation that seemed fun.
Exactly.
Well, I know, didn't he shoot part of that in China? It was part in L.A. and then also part in China. Yeah. So
China's the future anyways.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is...
that they've got the pollution part of Blade Runner down.
The weird thing is our very own vice president actually spoke recently about LaGuardia Airport being like third world, and he's right.
Yeah.
Like just having traveled, you know, to all parts of the world for my previous job, I can just tell you it's depressing when you come back to the States and see, wow, we've put no fucking money into our infrastructure.
Nope.
While we're like spending all this money on the military, all these other countries are going like, fuck it, we're just going to make mass transportation that works.
Yeah.
We're going to have like, you know, modern educational systems.
Yeah.
So we have like an informed and educated populace that can be productive. Like just all this like, they put money into that where if we've just more fucked ourselves up. America's a great subject for a summer tentpole movie.
Yeah.
But not so, but like a real, becoming a more and more depressing place when you travel around and you see how great other parts of the world are and how much they've just innovated.
Yeah. I'm going to Japan next month and I am so excited to ride their trains again because you can get from point A to point B very quickly.
And not only that, I mean, you just look at their tech devices.
Yeah.
Are years ahead of what we'll see. I mean, I would go to Akihabara and just look at all the, just go crazy.
They're already coming out. Multiple companies have developed, operable mech suits that people can, like, hop into, like these giant robot suits that people can hop into and pilot.
You mean, like
Gundam or, like, Pat Labor, just, like... Or like Titanfall.
Or like the old dude in Prometheus.
Yes.
Where it's just like, it's making me walk for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. It's better than a walk.
Like Guy Pearce in the most ridiculous old age makeup.
Yeah. Though that was hilarious. That movie, you know, it's weird. I'll come back and watch that movie and go, yeah, it's kind of fucking... But I don't know. I still kind of like it. I still kind of like aspects
of it. I will say,
I
enjoyed it. I understand people's complaints with it.
Right.
And but that to me was just the, like... Why did they just age up Guy Pearce? Like, I love Guy Pearce.
Obviously, because I think that he's going to come back as a younger version of
him.
You know? So, that movie is definitely, it's a brilliant failure.
Never seen it. I don't have a desire. I loved Alien and Aliens, but Prometheus just didn't.
It didn't
look entertaining, and everybody that I talked to that likes, you know, has opinions I respect, And according to
I think it's because they wanted it to be an alien movie. Yeah. It's not an alien movie. It really is. It's a movie about something else, but they did pussy out on a bunch of things because there's all this stuff about how, well, 2,000 years, this engineer.
But it was supposed to be a prequel, right?
And then she had, yeah, and then she had, like, the cross. The whole thing was to basically say that Jesus Christ was an engineer, but Fox forbade Ridley Scott from implying, you know, somehow, because the whole thing is a fuck you to religion.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the one of the scientists' goal, I forget the character's name, is just like, I want, you know, all religions to be wrong. You know, that it's like, you know, that our creator wasn't some god, some magic man in the sky. It was aliens coming here and experimenting.
Can I tell you? That's my favorite movie already.
No, you've got it. But see,
I like it already.
But the thing
is, it's fun.
He sets all of this stuff up to basically, you know, drive that point home at the end, but then kind of pussies out because it becomes just some cat and mouse monster bullshit, which it didn't need. But I hope they go forward with the sequel and he just says, fuck it. But I don't know. I just watched Gladiator recently, and I love Ridley Scott.
Does it really hold up? I haven't watched it in a long ass time. Does it hold up?
Oh, it's so good.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, good. It holds up. But the
score is so good.
Yeah, but the weird thing is Joaquin Phoenix constantly, you know, falls in love with a scroll.
Yeah.
I think that is really a strange thing. I don't remember that happening. Maybe that was the inspiration for her.
Yeah.
I mean, that was dumb. That was dumb.
Yeah, the proto version.
Delete that attempt at a joke from the podcast. I apologize for that 10 seconds.
Here's the deal. I've made worse jokes countless times.
Oh, really?
So our audience doesn't.
It evens
know.
Out.
It evens
really?
Out.
All right. Yeah. Well, I figure if you talk for an hour doing a podcast, there's going to be 6 minutes of hilarity.
Oh, yeah.
Average.
Minimal 6 minutes of hilarity.
Yeah. It's a good chunk.
It's a game of averages, you know what? You're in it for the long haul, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Here's a quick interesting fact about while we were talking about locations and countries and all that. During the Cold War, the USSR was able to tell a Soviet passport was a forgery because the staples in real passports would corrode due to the poor quality of metal.
Wow. What a brilliant failsafe.
Yeah. So if the staples were rusty, it was real.
Wow. That's great.
Isn't that an interesting
But talk about a cheap-ass way to, you know, come up with a system to, you know, to find those out, those fake ones out. That's strange.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it.
Speaking of cheap solutions to problems, this is I can't believe this. James Blunt, the British crooner
of
songs like You're Beautiful, or whatever the fuck that song was. Thank you for that brilliant rendition. James Blunt once sold his sister on eBay.
Yeah.
Basically, in an interview with British GQ, he was saying, I came back to the flat where my sister was staying, and she was crying because she couldn't get to a funeral in Ireland. The planes were on strike, the ferry was out of season, and there were no trains. So, James Blunt, being the genius that he was, came up with an innovative solution. I ended up whacking it on eBay. Damsel in distress seeks knight in shining armor, desperate to get to funeral in Southern Ireland, please help. The bids flooded in, and the guy who won had a helicopter. Now, this is even crazier. Yeah. He flew her to the funeral. That was 3 years ago at the time of this interview. I'm not sure when that took place. And that the summer after this interview took place, the sister and the guy with the helicopter are getting married.
Holy shit.
That's like
shit.
A movie. That's like a rom-com.
Wow.
Like just picture like fucking, what's his name?
Like a snowstorm. Like, oh, you need to get somewhere, but all
Hugh
the planes
Grant,
are on
like,
strike.
You know, Hugh Grant is the guy with the helicopter.
He's the helicopter pilot who's bored surfing eBay one day.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, it's James Blunt.
Here's the deal. As much as I'm a dude, that stuff is romantic to me.
Because normally,
it's interesting.
Yeah, I bought this girl on eBay and took her in my helicopter.
Right,
because
normally
funeral.
When stories begin that way with like eBay or Craigslist, it ends up with somebody dead.
It's either
or,
gonna,
or
yeah.
a
it's,
severed penis in a refrigerator.
It's either going to go
something bad.
Yeah.
It's like a choose your own adventure book. One path is like a big budget rom-com. The other is a Lifetime original movie.
Right, right. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Well, we're approaching our time here, and while we're wrapping up, here's a quick fact about March, because this will air, I believe, the first Monday in March, which is, I think, March 3rd or 4th or something like that. But March, a fun fact, March starts on the same day of the week as November every year, and February in common years only. So when it's not a leap year, March and February and November start on the same day every
Interesting.
Year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I kind of knew that because my dad's birthday is February 26th, and my birthday is March 5th, and those are always exactly a week apart unless it's...
Well, happy birthday, Rash.
More than 7 days.
So my birthday is in 2 days from now, I believe. Nice. If this airs on the Monday the 4th, I think, if that's what
so,
it is.
So when you hear this,
send me a tweet.
Wait 2 days, then tweet him happy birthday. Don't jump the gun.
Don't jump the gun, motherfuckers.
So, Chris, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh, you can go to chrisgore.com or follow me on Twitter at thatchrisgore. And, you know, check out my comedy album, Celebrities Poop, available on iTunes, Amazon. And exclusively, you can get the book and album at celebritiespoop.com.
.com. And awesome. You also, your podcast, Pod Crash.
My podcast, Pod Crash. About that. It's every week I'm a guest on a different podcast.
Okay.
So it's sort of like whenever you go to some bar and you can't, I don't know if I want potato skins or onion rings or whatever.
Yeah.
I just get the sampler platter. Okay. I get everything. So my podcast is the sampler platter of podcasts.
Okay.
If you listen every week, it's a completely different show that I'm the only consistent thing is I'm the guest on the show.
Okay.
So that's my, and it's Pod Crash. You can get the app and
that's awesome.
Available where fine podcasts are sold, except free.
Yeah.
So even better.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So go to the website.
Yeah.
Follow him on Twitter. Download the album.
Yeah.
Download the podcast. You got your marching orders.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the show,
guys. Yeah, thanks for coming.
I love Razzles. I used to love Razzles as a kid. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard this before.
First it's a candy, then it's a gum.
Oh, my God.
Now it's a man.
Love Razzles. There was a consistency to that gum that just was better than other gums.
Yeah, it was better than Fruit Stripes gum, that's for sure.
Fuck Fruit Stripe gum, because that stuff, the flavor lasted 20 seconds.
Yeah,
you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly. It's the NASCAR pit crew of gum. Right. You just need a quick burst of flavor, then get out of your mouth.
Yeah. No, so thank you your name.
Absolutely, thank you. And as usual, you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2.
And I am at Osteoferocious.
You can follow the podcast at TWL Podcast, or you can shoot us an email at TWLpodcast@gmail.com.
Plus, you can find us on Facebook. Poke us, like us, all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. And once again, we appreciate everybody for listening. Everybody for telling your friends to listen. Everybody who's left a review or a comment on iTunes. And if you haven't, please do. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Leave us a comment. And as usual,
ask not for whom the bell tolls. Don't bother opening the door.
You've heard it here. Thanks.
I love porn. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love porn. But one thing I also love, correct grammar. So when I see a headline that says, "Hot wife carves black cock." That does not sound like a porn that I want to see. But what's weird is that on the internet, you can find any kind of porn. Like any kind, every kind of porn. There's like 9 dudes doing 6 girls doing whatever, 8 guys doing this, a redhead, and a bad. But here's what I want to find on the internet, which is extremely rare if you can find it to me. One black man having sex with one black woman. When do you ever see that? Has anyone ever seen that? It's normally 3 black guys and 1 white chick. Am I wrong? Doing a thing that they call airtight. I just learned this, what airtight is.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.